Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
That's right. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast, for downloading, for subscribing to the podcast. Hope everybody enjoyed the one we did earlier in the week with myself and Michael Wiseman as we talked about WWE Raw. We talked about Extreme Rules, gave our predictions for that upcoming pay-per-view, plus some other news and notes on that podcast. If you haven't listened to it yet, please check it out, especially before Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. On this podcast right here, coming through with the one I promised earlier, two interviews coming up later on, my conversation with Adam Cole, the newest member of the Bullet Club after he joined. It was unveiled at the recent Ring of Honor Global Wars pay-per-view that he is the newest member of Bullet Club, and we talk about him joining the club and everything that went into that, how long he's known he was going to be a part of the group for, and possible upcoming plans, different things like that. He's super excited about this opportunity, and rightfully so. It is a big deal for Adam to be a part of Bullet Club. But first, my conversation with WWE superstar Natalya. She's going to be facing Charlotte in the submissions match for the Women's Championship coming up on Sunday at Extreme Rules. So we talk about what's going on with her right now in her career, in what has been a big year for her coming off what was a difficult year for her last year. So we talk about that. We talk about the women's movement in WWE following the Divas Revolution. Plenty of stuff to catch up with Natalya. So let's just jump into that conversation right here. Myself talking with WWE superstar Natalya. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about Raw from last night. So you and Charlotte in the final segment of the show and like the main event segment. So tell me what the day was like earlier when you get to the building, and how and when did you find out that the two of you were going to be in the final slot on Raw?
It was just shocking to find out that we were going to, like, we, you know, I got to the arena and then it was, we were kind of told that, you know, this is you guys are on the last segment. And we were like, oh my God, not only are we main eventing Raw, but we're like closing Raw. It was really, really, it was surreal. And it's still surreal. Like, I was on my drive last night from Greensboro to Greensville, where we're at right now, and Greenville. And it was just like, I was just processing it all and taking it all in and going, wow, like, I can't believe I did that. And, you know, just being able to hold up that women's championship and to think about wrestling for 15 years and going through the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, being in that ring with Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Ric Flair, and Charlotte Flair. You have the McMahons, the Harts, and the Flairs. And it doesn't get any bigger than that in wrestling. When you think about wrestling, like, you know, hierarchy and royalty and, like, our families have really done so much over the years for this. And, you know, I hear certain, not a lot of girls, but some people are like, well, I'm sorry I wasn't born into this, but I was born into it and I'm not sorry about it, because it was very, to me, like, it wasn't an easy ride to be born into a big, crazy, you know, world of wrestling. But it's been like I said, last night holding up that championship on Raw and closing Raw, it's just like a huge moment for myself. It was a huge moment for Charlotte. It was a huge moment for women in the WWE, moving our division forward. And just shows that WWE is really just embracing their women with all of their efforts.
If I had told you a year ago that you were going to be in the main event segment of Raw leading into a huge championship match at a pay-per-view, would you have believed me?
I don't know. I don't think I would have believed you if you told me a week ago I was going to be main eventing. I mean, it's just surreal. It's like, I still get extreme stage fright before I go out to the ring, before anything. And I realize, and it's funny, I was talking to Arn Anderson about that the other day. I really like that. I like getting really, really, really nervous before I go out, because it keeps me so on my toes, because it shows me as well that this all still really means so much to me. like, when you stop getting nervous and you don't care, it's bad. And last night, I just was like, just couldn't believe it. I was, like, pretty much hyperventilating before I went out. I was like, okay, here we go. But once I walked through that curtain, it's just all fears change. And, yeah, it's pretty surreal. I don't take it for granted by any means.
Obviously, this is riding a high right now and seeing where you're at in your career and seeing all the women in WWE. But take me back to last year. How difficult was last year? Because there were some people, there's a lot of people trying to get behind you saying, okay, they've got the Divas Revolutions moving from NXT up to WWE, and we're seeing all these different women. There's so many different talented ones, but we're not seeing much of Natalya. And there was a lot of people, I think, that tried to get your back and wondering where you're at in this whole process.
Well, last year, 2015, was by far the hardest year of my life. It was just, I was going through a lot personally, and then I had to take care of all of that. But I really, really, really wanted to be a part of the Divas Revolution, because I had waited my whole career for something like that. I had waited my whole career to wrestle with girls like Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. And I wanted to be part of that more than anything. And then looking back on it now, I'm almost like kind of glad that maybe it didn't work out that way, because sometimes better things are, like, maybe if I had been a part of all of that, I wouldn't have been main eventing Raw last night. You know, it's like, It brought me to a level of clarity that I, like, going through that hard time of kind of sitting on the sidelines and, you know, having to handle things that I was having to handle the things that I was going through, and then having to rise up and rise above all of it. And, like, you know, coming back from my broken ankle, and, like, that's why I was so devastated when I broke my ankle, because I didn't want to believe, I wouldn't allow myself to believe, I didn't want to be hurt. And I was finally just got back into the mix, and I finally, like, re-debuted after being out the whole summer, and then I got hurt. And then I realized, like, looking back on it now, just talking about it now, I'm like, this is, though, all those things happen for a reason. Some of them I don't know the reasons for, but, like, everything that happened to me last year made me stronger, and it's going to help me come Sunday at Extreme Rules when I tap Charlotte Flair out. And I will. I will beat her at Extreme Rules, and I hope that she's going to be as prepared as I am for it.
You know, it's been 2 years since the two of you had the match for the NXT Championship. Did you feel like things were going to be different for yourself and for the women following that match? Because there was so much emotion around it, and plus it was, you know, such a highly regarded match. It still is. I mean, people can talk about that was one of the best matches of the year in 2014.
Yeah, I mean, that match was so special because for a lot of reasons. You know, at NXT, because now it's becoming like a cult following, like underground, like it's becoming the hottest thing around. But when we did that match at the very first takeover, NXT was just kind of getting off the ground. It was brand new. And like, they were just starting to, it was starting to really catch fire. But Charlotte was kind of, you know, she was new. She was so new, and she was sort of like, nobody really knew the potential that she had. And I hadn't had a chance to showcase what I could do in a match of that caliber being given that platform. Like I said, it didn't matter to me that it was only in front of a few hundred people. What mattered to me was that I was getting a story. I was getting the right opponent at the right place at the right time. And every single thing, it was like the perfect storm of, everything just falling into place. And I realized that night, when I wrestled Charlotte at TakeOver 2014, May 29th, I remember it all, that Charlotte Flair, like, she's one of my soulmates in wrestling. She is one of the women that, like, she and I will always be connected because of the work that we've done. And we've raised the bar for the women's division, just like Sasha Banks and Bayley have raised the bar for the women's division, just like Becky Lynch has raised the bar for the women's division. In a lot of ways, you look at even the feud that Brie Bella had with Stephanie McMahon. These are steps that are raising the bar in the women's division, Nikki Bella being the longest reigning Divas champion. And these girls that I work with, they're soldiers. We go down and work 300 days, you know, I say down in the trenches, but like I think of sometimes it is like a, you know, it's a battle. It's an uphill battle just doing what we do every day because we all are so competitive and we want to be so good. And I just work with such a strong group of amazing women, but Charlotte is, I feel like she's like my soulmate in wrestling. And people thought, you know, when they look back at that match in 2014, they didn't know she could do any of that. And it was like the greatest honor of my career to be able to bring out the best in someone and to go, not only am I going to be a shining star in this match, but I'm going to make Charlotte a shining star in this match. And I'm going to make her believe in herself in a way that she never knew she could. And to watch her confidence grow, like, it's just such a, to me, I love that. I love that aspect of it, to watch somebody just, like, shine. And in return, like, it's an art to be able to shine yourself at the same time. But that was when people really started to take notice.
I was going to say, how different of a performer is Charlotte from then to where she is now?
Well, her confidence has grown so much. And I, you know, even this weekend we had live events in the Carolinas and that's really flair country. And Charlotte was such a bad girl, bad guy, heel, as we say in wrestling. She was the ultimate bad girl in the Carolinas when she should have, you know, it's like when I go to Canada, I always get cheered, even if I was, you know, oh, I was never a bad guy in Canada. But fans love the flares, and she had a way of turning them to hate her. And she has just grown so much. I just see confidence. Like, I just, when I'm in the ring with her, it's just something comes alive in me and I see what's alive in her. And it's, she just, her confidence in the last year, 2 years has been through the roof. And it makes me so happy because I know she's been through a lot. Growing up in this business isn't always easy. Your dad's gone a lot. You know, our dads were both on the road full time. And, you know, it brings its challenges. She lost her brother, which, you know, I know that really rocked her in a big way. And just to see, to know that she had some real bumps in the road and then to see where she's at now, it's like, it's proof that you just have to keep going forward and one day at a time. And she's fallen down and she's gotten back up. And there's been some moments where, like I said, I just watched her grow overnight. And I just couldn't, I really couldn't be more proud of her. But I do plan on tapping her out on Sunday at Extreme Rules.
Of course you do. Well, I mean, it's interesting, too, though, to see you and Charlotte got that main event slot on Raw leading into a high-profile match coming up at, you know, Extreme Rules coming up on Sunday. How far away do you think we are from a women's match headlining a pay-per-view?
Oh, I don't think we're far away from that at all. It's crazy because Vince McMahon is a man of his word, and he promised that there would be change with the women and the women's division, and we got change. And Triple H has spearheaded a lot of these changes for the women in the WWE, starting at NXT. Triple H gave me my WrestleMania moment at that NXT takeover on May 29th, 2014 to really show the world what I could do. Before I had that match with Charlotte, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but Triple H just told me that I didn't even have a time limit. He just said, do whatever you want. And just do whatever you want. I'm just leaving this all in your hands. And he just believed in me so much, and it just made me like, I didn't want to let him down, but I also knew that I was getting a huge responsibility and I was ready to bite it off and like bite off more than I could chew in every way because I knew that I could nail it. So when you look at, like I said, Triple H and Vince McMahon really like collaborating and coming together for this, it's huge. And, you know, say what you want, but all the divas in the WWE on the main roster, we were chomping at the bit waiting for this for so long. And in a lot of ways, I mean, I would be talking with other girls in the locker room, like Bella Twins, and saying, oh, I wish we could do that. Like, because they were getting, you know, 20-minute matches. And then I finally got to have that. And I was like, wow, you guys have no idea, like, how great that felt. and to get that story. And that's why NXT is such a success today, because they get stories, characters are built. It's just a fun product to watch. And like now we're, like I said, we, Charlotte and I main evented Raw last night and we closed the show. And that is a huge step for women in wrestling, women in WWE, and women everywhere.
We see how much NXT has done for Charlotte and Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and, you know, so many other performers. But obviously, you were somebody that had already been on the main roster. Then you had some time in NXT as well. So what did NXT do for you in your career, especially at that time?
My husband and I, TJ Wilson, a.k.a. Tyson Kidd, we love NXT. And we loved performing in NXT. It really was and is our favorite show. And it just helped us find ourselves again. Because sometimes, you know, when you're in the hustle and bustle of this fast-paced world that we are in the WWE, it's a moving machine and everything's going so fast. And WWE, exploiting for TJ, like, he connected with Dusty Rhodes in a way that people have no idea. TJ never had a dad and never knew his father, never met his real father. And Dusty kind of became like a dad to TJ. And TJ and Dusty, TJ would drive 2 hours there and 2 hours back to do a 1 minute promo with Dusty. And to like, that's the thing about NXT, that you have those resources. And Dusty was one of those resources. And, you know, obviously we all miss him greatly today, but like, NXT has changed people's lives that love this business because it kind of helps them rediscover themselves and really shine and not to be, you know, to be unafraid to just do something and color outside of the lines. And that was the same thing for me. Triple H said, you know, he believed in me. He gave me that opportunity with Charlotte. He didn't really give me any boundaries because he believed in me. And like, it just gave me this surge of confidence that, like, as a woman, it's just a priceless feeling when somebody believes in you. Like, and, you know, you have all those resources down there at NXT. Sarah Del Rey, somebody that I worked with in Japan, and now she's working with the women, and she loves wrestling. And I collaborate with her still to this day on ideas for matches. I go down there and train, and she helps me, and I always want to get better. And I actually heard Sasha Banks say that in an interview a couple of weeks ago. She said, like, I never want to stop training and learning and growing. And, like, I've been wrestling for 15 years, and I just love moving forward and growing. And I love helping other people find that themselves, too. And NXT just embodies that in every way.
So WWE has had a partnership with Susan G. Komen for breast cancer awareness. Recently, they launched the Share Your Story contest. Tell me about the contest and your part of it.
Well, this WWE partnership with Susan G. Komen is very special to WWE. And basically, we're running a contest, and we are picking three people who, you know, basically they have to write an essay. And there's only going to be three winners, but whoever's essay is the best. And I'm not sure the particulars on how we pick the best essay. I mean, if I could be involved in picking that, I think that would be great. But there's going to be three contest winners for the best essay. And, you know, it's really... it's just another way that WWE is partnering with Susan G. Komen. It's another way to raise money for breast cancer awareness and research. It's just another way of saying that we care. And it's just, you know, it's very, very special. So it's awesome to be a part of it. I'm really, like, I'm excited to see who's going to win.
And the contest is running May 5th through the 27th, and everybody can find out more about it at go to Komen, KOMEN.com/WWE. Couple last things. I have to confess something to you. We've talked to each other a couple times, so I hope you're not going to be too angry with me, but I promised everybody I would confess this. I do not watch Total Divas. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
I'm not mad.
I told people, because they always ask me about Total Divas, and I'm like, nothing against the women on there. I'm just not a huge fan of reality television. Plus, I already watch too much TV, which my wife gets on me about. So everybody was like, oh, you'll never tell that to Natty. You'll never tell that to me. I'm like, why not? So I'm just to come clean to other people. I apologize. But I know that you're the star by far of Total Divas. But I did have to admit that to you.
Oh, well, thank you. No, it's okay. I mean, it's not for everyone. Like, it's... you know, it's That's the great thing about WWE, and if you look at the network, like, we have so many different things for every kind of flavor of ice cream. Like, if you like the Legends, we've got stuff with Legends. If you want to watch old WWE stuff that was your favorite growing up, we've got that. You can watch anything and everything. If you want to watch, you know, fun, lighthearted stuff, you know, you can tune into Swerved. There's so many different, you know, or the Edge and Christian show, which I think is hilarious.
It's like, incredible.
There's just so many fun things that, you know, and if you like Total Divas, great. You can tune into that, too.
Well, to be fair, here in the final, like, 30 seconds or so, tell me what I'm missing out on and why I should be watching Total Divas.
Ooh, well, first of all, you cannot miss watching Jim the Anvil Neidhart get a pedicure and picking pink and black nail polish with white hearts on it. That was something, and that will definitely make you tune in. Because my dad is crazy.
But that's good. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, coming up this Sunday, it is the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Everybody can watch it live on the WWE Network. It's going to be a submissions match for the Women's Championship. Natalya challenging Charlotte. Always appreciate the time, Natalya. Keep up the fantastic work, and I can't wait to see the show on Sunday.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
It's been a while since I got an opportunity to talk to Natalya, so I'm grateful that we got that chance to talk. And I promised people, and I wasn't going to duck from it, that yes, I do not watch Total Divas. I have fully admitted that, and I know there's been a lot of people that have told me that I should be watching the program, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that like it. I'm just not into reality programming, but I did promise that the next time I talked to Natalya, I would tell her that I do not watch the show. I'd come clean, because it wasn't like I was hiding it or anything like that, but I just figured, you know what, I'd be honest, I'd be upfront with her about it, and I know that she is a big part of the show, so there you go. I did it. I told Natalya that I do not watch Total Divas, and guess what? She was totally cool with it as well. There's plenty of other programming that I watch. I don't think it's any secret that I probably watch way too much television, especially now with all the different shows that I enjoy. And there's a lot of sports that are on. NBA playoffs are on right now. I'm a big NBA fan. The Cubs are playing right now. I'm a huge Cubs fan, and they have a really good team this year. So I really have to pick and choose what I'm watching. I still watch too much, but you know what? For a show like Total Divas, and I'm just not into reality television that much, I'm sorry, but I just don't have time for it. And maybe one day I'll check it out. Probably not. But if I did it, it would just be for Natty. Let's put it that way. It would just be for Natty. So I'm looking forward to seeing her match coming up on Sunday at Extreme Rules. Her and Charlotte submissions match. It's going to be interesting because those matches can be difficult. A straight up match, I have no doubt they would tear the house down. And I think they're going to have a very good match come Sunday. It's just it's a little bit more difficult. There's that extra twist, obviously, when it comes to having a submissions match, and we'll see how it all shakes down come Sunday at Extreme Rules. Another big thing that went down recently, new members of Bullet Club. Adam Page was unveiled, but also Adam Cole, and that was the really, really big name when it came to Bullet Club, the big surprise at Ring of Honor Global Wars pay-per-view just over a week ago. That was a big move for Adam Cole, a big move for Bullet Club. I got to talk to Adam Cole about this big moment in his career. It's a really, really big moment for him, and I know he's super excited about it. So here's my talk with Adam Cole. He is the newest member of the Bullet Club, Adam Cole, joining the club just over a week ago. So let's start right there. So put into career achievements where joining the Bullet Club at Ring of Honor Global Wars fits for you.
Man, very, very high. As far as like for me personally, I think it's great as far as a kind of a direction change for me. And I think it kind of goes without saying that the Bullet Club is, the hottest faction in pro wrestling in years. There's presence being felt from the Bullet Club and companies all over the world. I'll tell you this much, too, as far as attention, for me doing anything, this has got to rank up there with maybe the most talked about thing that I've ever done as far as social media goes and as far as people reaching out, things of that nature. So it definitely made an impact, and it definitely benefited my career for the better. So it's up there, man. It's up there.
So tell me what it was like being in the moment at that time, because the main event match is going on. Lights go out, lights come back on. There you are in the ring with the Young Bucks, and you're wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt.
It was crazy, man. And I think, too, with the way that we led up to that moment, I think was really special. You know, being that, you know, at that point in time, I was offering of honor events for a month. I was tweeting some interesting pictures that got a lot of people in wrestling talking. And a lot of people were curious as to, you know, kind of what was next for me in my wrestling career. So I think we surprised a lot of people, and getting like a genuine surprise reaction out of a crowd like Chicago was really cool to be a part of. And secondly, even for the people that maybe knew or thought that was coming, but for them to be happy that it was me, was really cool, man. It's sweet anytime you get to do something in wrestling that creates like real genuine emotion out of people, like whether it was, oh, finally he's in the Bullet Club, or, oh my God, I didn't think Adam Cole was going to be here. It got people excited. So it was really cool to be in the middle of that whole thing.
How were you able to keep it a surprise the way that you were, along with Ring of Honor and everybody involved? And how worried were you that it was going to leak out?
Oh, yeah, very worried. Very, very worried. Fortunately, there was only a handful of people, a handful of trusted people that knew exactly what was going on. But, I mean, certainly with a moment like that, if that does leak, that drastically changes the moment in time, especially it being on pay-per-view. But I was a little worried at first, but as we got closer and closer to the event and people weren't commenting on it and people weren't talking about the possibility of me joining the Bullet Club, I got more and more excited. So actually the most stressful part of that was actually the day of the pay-per-view, you know, making sure that I stayed hidden, making sure that no one saw that I was in the building that night. But fortunately, we were able to pull it off.
So did you hide in a car, a broom closet? Where'd you hide?
Well, yeah, I definitely hid in the car showing up to the building. I made sure I had like a towel and a hoodie up over my face. And I stayed fairly hidden and quiet even in the back that night, too. I wasn't walking around too much in the building. I kind of stayed in my one spot just in case if, you know, any fans were coming in earlier, fans were looking through the window or the door or anything like that. So I did a pretty good job of staying hidden, I think. I think I did a pretty good job.
So when did you find out that you were going to be joining the Bullet Club?
I found out about a month and a half before this whole thing was set up. And, you know, to say the least, I was pretty stoked. You know, on top of it really changing my position, I think, in ROH because of the Bullet Club's impact, obviously this really opens up some doors for me in New Japan. And anyone who has listened to me do interviews before knows how much that being a part of New Japan Pro Wrestling is something that I really, really would like to do. And even with me getting a taste of it back in 2014, I believe, where I did one G1 final Cebu Dome show, and then I got hurt, and then, you know, scheduling conflicts and things of that nature, I was like, oh man, you know, I really hope I'm going to get the chance to go over to New Japan. But then this is the classic, the patience paid off, because now not only am I going to get the chance to go to New Japan, but I get to do so in a pretty big role as in being a member of the Bullet Club.
You know, because this is tied in with New Japan, obviously, with the Bullet Club, the talk was that Gato personally said, you know what, I want Adam Cole as a member of the Bullet Club. So were you surprised to get that call and to find out that he personally picked you to be a part of this?
Yeah, actually, I definitely was. Like, I had known that Gato was a fan of mine based on the Ring of Honor and New Japan shows we had done before. He was very complimentary of the matches I had with Jushin Thunder Liger, the matches I've had with Shinsuke Nakamura. And I knew there was interest there from New Japan, but like any wrestling company, again, scheduling conflicts and storylines and things of that nature, they want to make sure that it fits. That was actually the one thing that was a big compliment to me, is they had told me before they never wanted to bring me over randomly. They wanted to make sure they had something that was big and that was worth my while. And but hearing that Gato not only found something, but finding that something was being in a feature role in the Bullet Club was huge for me. And another thing, too, is the Young Bucks definitely had a big part in wanting me in that group. they're very influential, obviously, in that group, and they know the chemistry that we had in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and they thought that I should have been in the Bullet Club from the start. So it was definitely a combination of people making the decisions. But, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Obviously, we've seen Kenny Omega be the leader of the Bullet Club over in Japan. The way that you were positioned, it seemed like you were kind of a default leader being here in the United States of the group. So how does that fit with you and Kenny, especially when you can both be on the same shows together?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a lot of people have in their brain said, okay, Adam Cole is going to be the leader in the U.S. and Kenny is going to be the leader in Japan. But the funny thing is all of us had talked about this previously. Even though fans in their minds create leaders, I think the cool thing about the Bullet Club is everyone is kind of featured the same. I think a big reason that the group is so successful is because everyone is viewed at as equals, even when people do create leaders as such in their minds. Like, obviously, I will be in Ring of Honor more so than Kenny Omega, so I'll be the de facto leader in the States, and Kenny will be in Japan a lot more too. So again, I think as far as when me and Kenny are together, I'm hoping and I believe that we'll be viewed at as equals. Same as the Young Bucks, same as Adam Page, same as the Gorillas of Destiny. We're all one group. We all make up the Bullet Club.
Are you surprised by the longevity of the Bullet Club, considering all the different changes that have gone through from Prince Devitt being a part of the group to seeing AJ Styles and Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows? And just when you think there's a possibility that the group could peak, guys are leaving, but the group is still going on and still going strong.
Yeah, you know, on paper, it really looks like this group should have failed many times with people leaving and people changing promotions and things of that nature. But what the Bullet Club has done such a good job of doing is every time they lose someone, they find a very, very qualified and suitable replacement. So, I mean, when I look at the history of the Bullet Club and everyone who's been involved, so many stars and so many big names in pro wrestling have been a part of this group. And the fact that the Bullet Club continues to match that each and every time someone leaves is just proof on how smart and how ahead of the curve the Bullet Club is. And now I think they're stronger than ever. Again, with the presence in multiple different promotions all across the world, the Bullet Club is bigger and better than ever.
How much of a process do you think it will be for the Japanese audience to get to know exactly who you are when you start going there on a regular basis for New Japan? Or do you feel like they already know who you are pretty well?
Well, I certainly think that me being in Ring of Honor with the relationship with New Japan and Ring of Honor will really, really help that scenario. Like an example, with me joining the group, I'm not immediately going to Japan. I'm doing some stuff in Ring of Honor as the de facto Bullet Club leader in the United States, to where the New Japan audience will begin to get familiar with me just based on things I'm doing in Ring of Honor as a Bullet Club member. So when I do get brought over to Japan, a lot of that audience should be very familiar with who I am. And obviously, again, the first few shows, that will be me building my reputation over New Japan Pro Wrestling. But because I am with the Bullet Club and because I've associated myself with these guys, I think as far as them getting to know me, I think the process will be fairly easy. It'll be easy for them to go along with the ride as far as what I'm doing and who Adam Cole is. So, I definitely think it'll work out just based on the Ring of Honor, New Japan, and obviously Bullet Club relationship.
So immediately after this angle goes down, you are selling T-shirts to the audience. How many shirts did you sell?
We did very well. I'll tell you this. It was definitely my best-selling T-shirt that I've had. We already need to order hundreds of more T-shirts to get them available online. But they did really well. They did really well.
Yeah, I'll bet they did, man. And you've got to be thrilled, too, not only being a part of this group, because just, you know, the position that it's at, you know, it can help you financially as well. But then, obviously, you see all these references in WWE where they're not saying Bullet Club, but they're saying
sure,
the club, you know, they're referencing it. We're seeing the former members out there, and they've turned this into a big angle, which I think is a surprise to people. So, I mean, it has to be exciting to not only be a part of it, but see just the widespread of the Bullet Club, and it's even, you know, made its way into WWE.
Oh, definitely. Like, I can't think of the last time that the WWE acknowledged a group, you know, outside of their own company since, you know, WCW or ECW. I can't think of one. So it's pretty awesome that, again, the presence that, for, that the Bullet Club has created these past few years has been so impactful and so effective that, you know, even WWE is acknowledging its presence. So, and honestly too, with the WWE having the club, that just helps the Bullet Club and ROH and New Japan even more, you know, in taking the former Bullet Club members who were so influential to the group becoming as popular as it did and having them together in WWE, that just helps the current group of, you know, Kenny Omega, myself and the Young Bucks, et cetera.
So, you know, people have always talked about, you know, when is Adam Cole possibly going to take the next jump? You know, when could he be going to WWE? Something like this is such a big move, and now being able to work over in New Japan on a regular basis starting later this year, how much do you think that plays into, you know, what you're going to do in your future and decide where you want to be?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've always said this literally since I was 18 or 19 years old when I really started thinking about my future in pro wrestling. So much stuff can change at the drop of a hat. And now with this formation with the Bullet Club, knowing that there's a lot of great stuff coming for me in New Japan, definitely great stuff coming for me in Ring of Honor. It's almost, and I know this is such a cliche answer, but there is so much for me to focus on in the here and now that if I lose track of that and focus too much on what a year or two will look like now for me, I'm going to let this moment pass me by, and I can't do that. This definitely is the, you know, the most talked about that I've been. This is the hottest I've ever been. And in order to make this run as good as humanly possible, I need to focus on what's right in front of me and focus on making this the best that I can. So, of course, never say never, especially with – I think that's actually the coolest thing about pro wrestling right now is whoever your favorites are in the independents or in Ring of Honor or in TNA or Lucha Underground or New Japan Pro Wrestling, anywhere, there's that possibility of anyone showing up anywhere. And we haven't had that in quite some time. So I think that makes pro wrestling more exciting than it's been in years, and that certainly makes our fans stay tuned. So I'm all for it.
So how many ideas have you had swirling around in your head or you've written down about this is where I fit in and this is where we can take the Bullet Club going forward and doing something new and different?
Oh, yeah. The cool thing is, too, again, with my relationship with the Bullet Club members, it's not just an on-screen relationship. You know, myself and the Young Bucks, we talk every day. Me and Kenny Omega are great friends as well. And all we talk about, obviously, we see how each other are doing, how each other's families are doing, and then how you know, what we can come up with in the wrestling world. So we're always coming up with ideas. We're always bouncing ideas off one another. And in turn, because of that good personal relationship and our passion for wrestling that we share, we're going to come up with some really cool stuff, I promise you. This year for the Bullet Club will be different. This year for the Bullet Club will be exciting, and it's going to be something that everyone's going to want to pay attention to.
Couple last things. I know there was some people, you know, following the angle, you know, whether they're excited about mm-hmm. seeing you in Bullet Club or not. There's people going, you know, these guys are selling their merchandise. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're not playing the role of heels. And I know that's a big question mark when it comes to wrestling these days. Not only you, but we see it. You know, we see it in WWE with some different guys there. And I just wanted to get your take on when it comes to, you know, the role of heel and babyface in today's modern wrestling world.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because definitely you can see across the board, not just even in, you know, say Ring of Honor or New Japan, but even in WWE, a lot more so now, there's a focus on that shades of gray and guys just becoming stars and guys becoming as popular as they can, whether they're being cheered or whether they're being booed, and almost letting the fans make the decision of who they like and who they want to cheer for and who they want to support. You know, a perfect example is if myself and Jay Lethal wrestled for the ROH world title, I can almost guarantee you that the crowd is going to be split 50-50. And there's a lot of those moments in Ring of Honor now. Same with Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe, same with myself and Kyle O'Reilly. There's a lot of positioning that's being done to let the fans make the decision of who they want to support. The characters are still very different, but we're almost embracing the idea of letting the fans make the decision of who they like. And really, that's almost more realistic. I understand traditionally it goes away from the traditional heel and babyface role in pro wrestling, but you can really see that promotions across the world are experimenting with this new idea of letting the fans make the decision. And I think that's the route that Ring of Honor is going now. It's kind of letting the fans make the choice of who they want to support.
So how's your two-sweeting? Have you been practicing?
Let me tell you, being in Mount Rushmore with the Bucks and Kevin Steen, we did some two-sweeting a bunch back then. So my two-sweet is still pretty good, I think. I have been practicing quite a bit, but I think I got it down pat.
I would hope that you take care of that, because I don't want you to suffer an injury from too much two-sweeting that's going to be going on.
Right, and that's true, because the amount of two-sweeting that's going to be going on, that's a very possible outcome with me getting injured. So I'm gonna be careful.
Last thing, I got to bring this up. So I'm looking at this picture of yourself at the Young Bucks. I assume it's Chicago or it's somewhere from last week. What exactly are you smoking? Because that is quite the victory cigar, I would assume that is.
Oh, yeah. That is a Ashton cigar, some of the finest cigars that you can have. We were in New York. We were walking around the city, and I decided I wanted to get a cigar because I love cigars. I'm not a cigarette guy at all, but I do love cigars. And, when I was smoking the cigar, the Young Bucks immediately thought, oh, this is a great picture op. Let's get a picture together. So that was us. Again, truthfully, we were just hanging out the day before in New York City. I decided to have a cigar, and we decided, let's show the world how cool we are. So let's get a picture together.
That's a great picture. So, well, congratulations on this big opportunity. I'm really excited for you, as a lot of other people are. And I can't wait to see where this goes, and to know that you're going to get an opportunity to go over to Japan. I know you've been wanting to do that for a while. So should be a lot of fun going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this year is going to turn into the best year that I've had yet professionally. I'm so jacked up at the idea of going over to New Japan. Ring of Honor as a company has continued to get better and better and grow more and more. It's an exciting time for me. It's an exciting time for pro wrestling. So I can't wait.
Great stuff with Adam Cole. He's one of my favorite people to talk to. Just a really, really great guy, fantastic performer as well, super genuine, and I wish him the best. It's a great opportunity for him to be part of Bullet Club, and we'll see where it goes. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because there's been so many different reincarnations of Bullet Club, going from Prince Devitt to AJ Styles, and people are wondering over this year, like, what's going to happen with that group now, because you had Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks kind of branching off to the Elite, people thinking maybe Bullet Club wasn't going to be as good, or what even was going to happen with the group. But now having Cole a part of it, I think that's really going to help re-energize that. And I'm really excited about seeing what he's going to do with the group, and also when he gets that chance to go to Japan, which is something he's been wanting to do for a long time. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes or on Stitcher. Please rate and review the podcast. You can also find it on SoundCloud, and you can go to BetweenTheRopes.com. You can find it there as well. And follow me on Twitter. It's @BrianFritz. You'll see everything that I do, whether it's with the podcast or with sporting news, or every now and then if I do another project, you can see that. And you can also have a conversation with me about sports, because especially now, talking NBA and Cubs and whatnot, all that kind of fun stuff. So just follow me on Twitter and be part of the conversation. I always enjoy talking with everybody on there. So thanks again for listening to the podcast. I'll be back next week with at least one more, maybe two. We'll see how it goes. So I'll talk to you then.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.